All right. Well, it is 10:01 a.m. Eastern time. It's whatever time it is around the world. So thankful that you tuned in today. Thank you for coming to this webinar. We are going to be talking about the 10 things to do after installing WordPress. And so that's what the whole point is today. That's what I want to share with you today. And we're going to go ahead and get started. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. This probably won't take up an entire hour. There's some time for questions at the end, but I just want to give you that heads up. I'll show you as much as I can, but I can't go in and configure and set up every single plugin and everything that we talk about this morning. So I want to just do a brief introduction to me. If you somehow found me on the web, my name is Dustin Hartzler. And I am a WordPress developer. I also podcast. I also have a couple courses that are out there. One you might see kind of, I've been broadcasting a little bit recently, is with this new logo that's on this slide. ConquerYourWebsite.com is a brand new site that I've launched in the last couple days. And so we'll talk about more of that in a little bit. But I am an online entrepreneur. I love teaching people about WordPress and just understanding and configuring and setting up and how to do different things when it comes to WordPress. So I'm really excited about that. And that's going to be primarily, we're going to talk about the things that I do immediately after setting up WordPress. And so like these are things, as many WordPress sites as I've set up, these are the exact step-by-step things that I work through every single time. So today's game plan is going to look like this. We are going to talk about the 10 things that I do after installing WordPress. So this is my own personal list. There's a lot of lists that are out there. If you Google like 10 things to do after I install WordPress, there's so many different things, but they stretch them all out. So they're really only doing like 3 things, but then they make it 10. That's not the case here. I've actually jammed a lot of content in here, and I could probably say that my list has 12 or 18 things on based on what we're going to talk about. We're going to do a live demo. So I've got a live install of WordPress, brand new installation. We'll go through these things that are on my checklist here, and I'll show you what I do and how I set those up and things along those lines. And then I'm also going to give you a special offer. So this is a webinar that I have something to sell at the end, but it's just an opportunity for you to learn more about WordPress. So it's not going to be a hard sell. I'm just going to tell you what I've got and how you can take part of an awesome opportunity. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Point number one is I update the general settings and permalinks. And I guess let me back up too by saying that you'll get a recording of this presentation and the slides and whatnot. So if you don't want to take, you know, really detailed notes, you'll get this later today when I send it out. And one other thing that I was going to say was, we'll go through all 10 points and work our way through them, and they'll be on slides just like these, and then we'll go to the live demo. So instead of like doing point number one and then going to live demo and then coming back to point number two and then the live demo, we'll go 1 through 10, learning in this fashion with the keynote presentation, and then we will move on to the live demo, and then we'll work our way through it the exact same way. So the very first thing that I do once I get WordPress installed is I go and I update that site title and tagline. And you know, the site title, it's, or one of them says just another WordPress site, and it's just very general, very basic. And it's a very good way for people to know, hackers to know, that you've just installed WordPress. So I want to go ahead and make sure that, depending on what site I've got, you know, it's normally like a 3-letter keyword that, or 3 letters. So like CYW for Conquer Your Website. And then I do a dash. And then if it's a development site, then and I say dev. That way I kind of know, okay, I'm working on the dev site versus working on the live site. So it just really depends on what I'm doing and if I'm building a website for me or for a client. So I go ahead and update the site title and the tagline. And then we go into that general settings preference. We're still in that area. And then I change the time zone preference. So, and that is the biggest pain of a list. That is one that it's a drop-down list, and it's got every like country or every city in the entire world. Like, it's a ridiculous pain to scroll through, but I always go find the one for New York City, because they've got the same time zone as we do here in Ohio. And so I go ahead and set that preference, and I go in and I say that the first day of my week is on Sunday. Just setting up a couple of these things is very helpful when it comes to publishing a post. If you don't set the time zone preference properly, and then you say, I want a post to automatically publish at 2 p.m., it's going to go out at 2 p.m. GMT time. So wherever you are located in the world, it will go based on that. So you probably won't have a post that go at the right time. So I go and I change the time zone preference. And then I also go into the permalinks area, and I'll show you this. And I change the permalinks to go, instead of going like, I think the default is set up, it was like site.com/?= or p question mark P equals 123. And that's not very helpful at all. We want to make sure that we're using permalinks that's got actual text in them. So I go and change the permalink setting to about the fourth or fifth one down. And I'll show you that in the live demo. So those are a few things I do there. Next, I go and delete the default account. So that default account is that Hello World, that first post. There's the sample page that comes with every WordPress install, and there's the Mr. WordPress comment. So all that stuff gets wiped out immediately just because it's not necessary to keep. And once again, it's another way that hackers can find out whether you have a brand new install of WordPress or not. So we want to try to get rid of some of this default junk just to make it a little bit, make it our own personal site. So those are the three things that I wipe out. I'll show you that in the demo as well. Number three is I go in and I remove those default themes and plugins. So like you'll see 2011, 2012, maybe 2013 still there. The Hello Dolly plugin is there. Sorry, Matt, we're going to go ahead and Matt Mullenweg, the founder of WordPress, he's one of the co-founders and he wrote that plugin. But I go ahead and delete that every single time. Don't need it. I do tend when I'm developing a website, I will keep one of the 2012, 2011, 2013, one of them around just for the sake of having a plugin or having a theme there in case I'm having theme conflicts. Sometimes when you're building a theme and you're styling and doing some things, you're adding a plugin or different things, your site won't work right and it might break. And one of the first recommendations always is, other than the first one normally is turn off all other plugins and see if there's any conflicts and then if it works. And then the other one is change themes and see if the plugin starts working. So I like to keep one of the defaults there because I know that they are properly written and they're not going to cause any errors that way. But then I go ahead when I'm all said and done, when I'm done and ready to launch a site, then I get rid of all those themes and plugins that I'm no longer using. The fourth thing that I always do, the next thing, so once I've got WordPress kind of set up, so it's running, it's configured, now it's like, okay, now I'm ready to start adding stuff to it. I'm ready to start configuring my WordPress site. I'm going to start adding posts and pages and content and widgets and all these types of things. I want to make sure that I've got a backup plugin installed. So that's my next step. So I like to do the backup plugin is the first plugin that I install. That way I can, you know, easily back up and I can start that backup process. So I normally will set it up to backup once a day, especially when I'm in the development mode as I'm building a website out, just because you never know what may happen and you want to just make sure that you've got a snapshot of what you've worked on at the end of the day, you know, from the previous day. So I use either Backup Buddy, BackWP Up is another great free WordPress plugin. Backup Buddy does cost a little bit of money, but it is a premium. So it's a premium plugin. I really like it and I kind of know how it works. So I use that one primarily. WP Up is one, and then WordPress Backup to Dropbox. Another free plugin, and this backs up all your content to Dropbox. So that one's pretty powerful. That one can do some really cool things as well. So it just depends on what plugin that you want and how you want to get it set up, but I always go in and make sure that at least at the very beginning stages of building a site, it backs up everything nightly. So, you know, if I figure that I'm going to be done working by 5 o'clock, you know, I'll want to go ahead and back that thing up 7-8 o'clock at night. That way I have a snapshot of what I've been doing the night before, like just in case something happens, a server melts down or I need to roll back the next day because I broke something. I've got those snapshots of what's actually taking place. So the fifth thing that I always do, so once I've got backup ready, then I'm going to install a security plugin. And the one that I use, the one of choice, is BetterWP Security. And I'll show you this one. This one has some really great settings in like to set up and kind of harden your site, if you will, and make it harder for people to hack in and get to your content and get to your database and those types of things. So that's the first one, or that's the one. There's another one out there called WordFence, and it does some really cool things, but I don't think it's quite as powerful as BetterWP Security. And then I go run through all the configuration settings. I'll show you this when we get to the live demo with the configuration settings that are there. I won't go through all of them because there's like 23 of them, but you can go through and you can set up each individual one and it will actually make it more difficult for somebody to hack into your site. So I really like that. That's the next thing that I do. And these are just, like I said, methodically, like, okay, now I've got the backup and now I do the security plugin. The reason that I do the security plugin next is because the fact that the security plugin actually modifies some things in the database. So it goes in and it changes some table names, it changes some usernames, it changes some, you know, it does some really intensive stuff that you normally can't do, you know, from the dashboard into the database. And I've never run into a problem, but I always get weary and leery when a plugin can make those changes through the database. Because, you know, if you mess one thing up in the database, it could break your whole site. So I like doing this one very second after I've got a backup. So once I install a backup plugin, then I run the backup just so I have a fresh, you know, this is what the site looks like when it's in its initial install. And then I'll run the BetterWP security. And then if anything happens, you know, there's some sort of, you know, something goofs up, I can either restore from the backup or I can just blitz the whole site and start all over because I've really done nothing so far. So that's kind of a reason that I like to do BetterWP security right after the backup plugin. Okay, number six, the next one that I like to do is I install Google Analytics. And this is a tricky one depending on whether or not you're building a website for yourself or if you're doing it for a client or, you know, you're doing it for a friend, whatever. Like it really depends on how you set this whole process up. So to start, you know, you need a Google Analytics account. And to do that, to have a Google Analytics account, you need a Gmail account. And so depending on how much control you want to give to your clients, do you want to set them up with their own account or do you want to set it up under your name and then give them access to it? It really depends. So what I like to do, and it just depends on how it works. But for me personally, like if I'm working with a client, I give them the instructions to go and sign up for a Google Analytics account. It's super simple. You point them to google.com/analytics and then they can sign up and then they can give you their credentials and then you can log in and you can do everything you need. Sometimes I will set them up under my account and then link them, or I'll set them up on a client, you know, like the client will set up their account and then I can import those settings into my own account as well so I can see what's going on with the Google Analytics. And then once the Google Analytics whole account is set up and ready to go, then I will install the Google Analyticator plugin. And that's a great way to get that information to your dashboard. So instead of logging into Google Analytics every day to see what's happening on your site, you can just use the Google Analyticator plugin and you can see, okay, I had 32 hits yesterday and I had 400 hits the day before, or whatever that looks like for you. So Google Analytics is a big one that I do right off the bat as well, because I can't tell you the number of times I've had clients that are like, okay, what are my stats or what are my numbers? And it's like, oh, I never set up a Google Analytics account because you never asked me to. Like, so that's just kind of one of my standard operating procedures nowadays. It's just like, eventually somebody's going to want to know who's coming to your website and what browser they're looking at your site on and all of those different things. So Google Analytics is my go-to tool. That's number six after we've got all the other things set up. Next, it comes to number seven, is installing a commenting plugin. And this depends too on whether or not your clients or yourself, you know, are going to be using comments. If it's just a static site that's not going to be housing a lot of information, or it's not going to have blog posts or place for people to comment, you can disregard this step. But, you know, if it's on one of my own sites, I'll go ahead and install Discuss or Livefire. I personally like Livefire. That's one of my favorite commenting plugins. But both of those give you the ability for somebody to sign in with Twitter or, you know, with their Facebook account or different accounts like that. So I like using those plugins just because of that reason. And I like doing these first as well before we start getting a lot of content to the site, because I always like rapid results. So I like it when something happens immediately. But when you have a website that's got maybe you've launched the site or, you know, people are starting to comment. Well, with Discuss and Livefire, sometimes they have to like merge their databases and do a few things. So I would rather get them started right away. This is more of a feature with Discuss. Like they have to pull their information into their system. So it sometimes takes a while for their comments to show up on your website. Even though that they're there in the comment section, they won't actually appear on your website for a couple of days while it's syncing and getting set up and all of those types of things. So the commenting plugin is the very next thing that I do. And then the next one, and this is one that I do by default always. For me personally, I use Gravity Forms. Gravity Forms is a plugin that I always use because I found that almost every single website that I've ever set up, they want some type of form, whether that be a contact form, whether that be a submit form or sign up for my newsletter or, you know, whatever those things look like. And so I just install it by default, knowing that at some point they're going to want some sort of contact form on their website. There's another one out there called Contact Form 7 that you can use and set up. It's very simple. It doesn't have nearly the power as Gravity Forms. Gravity Forms is a premium plugin. It does cost, I think, $39 per website, but that is a steal of a deal comparing how much time and energy and effort it would take to build a plugin like that, or even build a contact form and start taking submissions on your website. So forms are the next one. Even if a client doesn't specifically mention that they're going to need it, I will install that anyways. I'll get that going. And then if the project's done and over with and they didn't need any type of Gravity Forms or a form plugin, then I'll go ahead and remove that. And I guess that's to the same case as everything else in these, in this presentation. Like if they don't need, if the previous one, you know, was the Comedy plugin. If we don't need that later, then I'll go ahead and delete those as well if they're not necessary. Then number nine, the step number nine that I do is I go and I install an SEO plugin. This is one that almost everybody asks for by default. They want their search engine optimization, you know, rankings. They want all that kind of stuff. And so I just go ahead and my favorite is WordPress SEO by Yoast. And so I go in and I set that up and I've got a configuration file that I can automatically upload and it checks all the boxes and sets everything exactly the way it needs to. So I go ahead and use that one. The other one that's out there is called All-in-One SEO plugin. So you can use either one of those depending on your preferences, but I like the WordPress SEO by Yoast. So those are kind of the things that I like to do when I'm getting set up. I will go through and set up all of these plugins and different things, and then finally, like now I'm ready to find and purchase the starting point. So depending on the client, depending on their budget, depending on, you know, what I'm doing, if it's my site or somebody else's, then what I do is I go ahead and I'll pick a framework if that's what they're looking for. If they want to use a Thesis, a Genesis, a Headway, a Builder, a standard framework, you know, those, I'll start with those. I'll go purchase that for them. Maybe they want just a free theme. So we'll go to WordPress.org, look around for a free theme and get that up and running, install that and go from there. Or maybe they want a premium theme. So we might look at Woo Themes or Elegant Themes or ThemeForest.net or different places like that to find a place where people, to find like that great starting point. A lot of times, you know, it saves a lot of time. It saves a lot of development costs if we start with a framework or a theme. And so once I find it and then I purchase it and then I'll install it. And then my next step, and I'll give you a bonus here, bonus number 11. So I said I was going to give you the top 10, but this is kind of one that I do that's not necessary, but it's a great way. It's a great practice when you're developing websites and you're modifying these frameworks or themes, or you're building a child theme, or you want to do some advanced customizations. My point number 11 is set up version control. So I use Git. It's called version control. It's called Git. I'm not sure if there's more to that than that. And it basically tracks all of your changes. So every time that I make a change to any of my source code or my files, that automatically gets tracked. And then that gives me one more method to back up. You know, like I can go back if there's something that maybe breaks. I also can, when I'm tracking my code with version control, then if I want to remove a feature or if I remove something from the default install of the theme, then I can go back and roll back into that as well. I'm using a program on my Mac right now called SourceTree, and it does a really great job of kind of tracking all the changes and things like that. And I can show you an example of that as well. And then, then in case there is a catastrophe, you can easily roll back. And so I really like that feature. I love that ability to go back and say, oh, I want to see what my code looked like yesterday and get that back instead of like keeping your windows open and then command or control Z and going back, like I used to do way back in the day when I was a rookie developer, if you will. So those are the 11 things that I do. And number 11 is something more if you're doing a lot of development, if you're doing a lot of tweaking to your website or child theme. And so those are the 10. Let's go ahead now and take a look at the live demo. We're going to go. I've got a WordPress site that's running locally on my computer. And so that means it's not out on the web, so you can't see it, but it is local. We'll be able to look at it here on my computer. And then I'll go through these steps once again so we can see exactly what I do. So here it is. We've got WordPress 3.6. It's just running locally. It's got the 2013 theme. So it's very basic. There's not a lot going on here. You know, it's just right out of the box installed. And if we go to the dashboard, we can see that as well. So it's even got the welcome to WordPress screen. I always turn this off. That's, I guess, the very first thing that I do. So I'll go ahead and dismiss this box because I really don't need it there. It's not. It's kind of in the way. And so then my next thing is the very first thing we want to do is we want to go to the general settings. So settings and then general. And this is where we'll kind of spend a little bit of time. So we want to change that site title to from just another WordPress site. And I'll just call this our demo site. And then for a webinar, we'll just put that in there so we can change the site title and the tagline. And then you can change a few other things. The time zone, here's this crazy little form that I was talking about. I know that I have to scroll up a lot, and then there's all of these different. New York is the one that I always choose that's got the right time zone for me. You can see that the UTC time is actually 14:20, so 2:20 in the afternoon, and it's only 10:20 here in the United States. So I know that New York is the right time. I like the date format like this, and then I always choose that my week starts on Sunday. So those are the general settings that I always go in. The first thing that I do and change, and then I go to the permalinks page, and then from the permalinks, I move it from the default down to the post name, and so that's all I do there, and then go ahead and save changes. So that's number one. That is updating the general settings and the permalink settings. Next, we want to go in default and remove some of that default post and page and comment stuff. So we can start with comments if we want. We can go and hover, and we can just say trash. We don't need that anymore. We can go to pages, and we can hover, and we can say trash, and we can go to posts, all posts, and we can hover, and we can say trash. Now, our website is going to look pretty goofy because there's really nothing there. There's nothing at all to actually, you know, display, but we're just on our way to getting everything set up. Now, we'll go into the plugins area, get rid of some of the plugins. It looks like I do have a plugin that's out of date, so one of the first things, if I do want to keep Akismet, what I would do is I would click the Update Now button and then go ahead and update that. We won't activate this for this purpose, and then we will remove the Hello Dolly plugin. And of course, Matt Mullenweg was the writer of this, and yes, we will delete that. So now we've got Akismet. We'll have to set that up and get that configured a little bit later if that's what we want to run on our site. Then I'll go over to Appearance and go to Themes. And from there, we've got all kinds of other themes that are there. So this one didn't come with the default install. I just had that in the folder. But then I would go and I would say, okay, 2011, I don't need you anymore. I'll go ahead and delete that one. I'll delete the 2012 theme. And you can even delete them even if you're developing, you might need to roll back. The cool thing is you can always get these back. So if you someday wanted, oh, I just deleted a 2011, maybe I need to get it back. We can just go over to install themes. If we just type in maybe 20 and then an asterisk, we'll be able to find the 2011 theme and we can install that again. So it's not like it's gone forever. You know, it's just gone, you know, for a little bit, and it keeps our site, you know, more secure by getting rid of it. So there you see, it is back indeed. So that is number two, or that's, I guess, we're down to number three already. So we remove the default themes. I won't delete them all just because to save a little bit of time here. Next, we want to install a backup plugin. So we'll go to plugins and install plugins. And we'll add a new one, and that new one will be Back WP Up. I've used that one many times before as it auto-completes for me, and it's the very first one there, and I will say install now and okay, and then it's going to install, and we'll activate it real quick. And once it's activated, then we can go ahead and we can set this thing up. So we can say we want to add a new job, and especially since we'll just call this development. I like to call it development, and then we will back everything up. And so we can check all of these boxes and leave the name like that. And you can say where you want this to go. So maybe I want to back this up to Dropbox or Rackspace or an S3 service. And then we can save these changes and we can go in and we can tweak all of these different things. So I'll save this real quick. And then I would go into the schedule, and then I would say that I'd want to do this with the WordPress cron, and I would say that I would do it daily, and these are just hours in the day. So I would say maybe at 7 o'clock at night, I will back up everything on a daily basis. And then once you get to the point where your site's live, that you don't need a daily backup of everything anymore, then what you can do is you can go over to jobs and you can just go ahead and delete. Now, once I've got this set up, my next step would be, and I'm not going to do it here because it will take too much time on this webinar, but I'll click the Run Now button and do the Run Now, and it will automatically back everything up. And then once it's backed up, then I would move on to step number five. And so right now, just pretend I've click the Run Now button. It's done. It's all backed up. It's ready to go. Now I'll go to point number five, which is you install the Better WP Security plugin. So next we'll go back to this area and start typing Better WP Security. I've installed this one before as well, as it auto completes, and we'll install and we'll say okay. And then we will activate this plugin as well. So we see a whole new menu option down here with security. So we'll go ahead and click on that, and we can create a backup if we want. We just did the backup, so we are good. We don't need to go and do another backup. If you really want to, you're more than welcome to. But say, no thanks, I already have a backup. And then we can secure our site from basic attacks just by clicking this button, or I prefer to configure everything myself. I like clicking this button so I can see exactly what I'm doing and what I'm setting up. So the very first thing, like I said, there's 21 items here, and you can say, you are not enforcing strong passwords, and then click here to fix. So if we click on this button here, we can scroll up and it says enable strong password enforcement. So we can go ahead and click this button and we can hit save. And then if we go back to our settings, back to our dashboard, now it says you are enforcing strong passwords, but not for all users. Okay. So now we can go and we can click here to fix, and we can say, okay, we want to, for some reason, you just have to go in and select all of these boxes like so, and then hit save changes. And then we can go to the dashboard, and now we're enforcing strong passwords. So we can go through here and work on each one of these, and each one of them will do something special to make it harder for somebody to lock into or hack into your website. Once again, I'm not going to go through all these settings because we just don't have the time for it in this webinar, but if you're interested, you can go through and click on each one of these. If you click on it, it says WordPress headers are showing too much information. So you click here to fix, and then you basically will go and just check these boxes. And it gives you a little description of what you're doing when you check each box. So that is what Better WP Security is. There's a lot of other things that you can do within this plugin. So you can set up some users, you can set up in a default time when I don't want anybody to log in, and you can ban different IP addresses and stuff like that. So I'm not going to go into that, like I said, but the next one is the next thing that I always do is Google Analyticator. So we will go and we will install the Google Analyticator plugin. And that one is there as well. We'll search for that one. Should be the top one here. And we'll say OK and install that. And once this is installed and activated, then it's going to want us to configure it before we can really do anything. We can go and we can go to the settings panel. And basically, you need to authorize your account here with Google. And so once again, not going to go through all the settings here, but I can show you. I'll just show you real quick. If we go to conqueryourwebsite.com/login, I'll show you what this looks like while it's running. And I'll log in. And once you have the thing set up and it's working properly, then you'll get this widget area over here that says Google Analytics Summary, and you'll be able to see how many people are going to your website and what they're looking at and what they're tracking. And so we can see that the views are going up on this website. I kind of launched this as a soft launch on July 25th, starting with some free videos at conqueryourwebsite.com, and then it jumped all the way up to 88 visits the next day on that Friday, and it's kind of bounced around since then. So that's what that plugin looks like. That's what it's going to do. And then we can see where some of the top referrals and top searches are. I could install this for you and set it up, but we're not going to see anything on that demo site that we've just set up. That's why I wanted to show it to you over here. So that's the next step. That was number six. So we've got Google Analytics set up. Basically, once you set up the account at Google Analytics or google.com/analytics, it will give you a tracking code that you can go ahead and paste into this plugin. It's pretty simple to set up, but that is something that you can do next. Next, we'll look at commenting plugins. So if you want to install Livefire or Discuss, then those are plugins as well. You can actually even go into the plugins and you can add new. And I even think if you do comments, if you click on the comments tag, it will actually pull up some of the other commenting systems that are out there. So there's all of these different ones. If you're not interested in Discuss or Livefire, let's say just for the sake of doing it that we want to install Livefire. So that one is right there. I'm looking for tags, I guess. So let's go to Livefire here and search for that plugin, and we can install Livefire Comments 3. And once we have that activated, there's really no configuration settings. You have to confirm your blog to work with livefire.com. It's the same with discuss.com. You basically have to make sure that you have a Livefire account and get that set up and working. And so that's now installed and ready to go. So I'm ready to start accepting comments from people who leave comments to the blog post that I haven't created yet. So far we've made it through seven. The next one that we're going to do is install a form system. So a Gravity Forms is what I'm going to do. And Gravity Forms is a little bit tougher because you can't go just to the plugins area and search for Gravity Forms because it is a premium plugin. They don't have anything that you can download. Like they've got a lot of like extra stuff that you can download. So these are plugins that run on top of plugins. And so how I do that is I actually have a folder that has a Gravity Forms install in it in my Dropbox account. And so I could go and let's do that real quick. But basically, like here is my we're running WordPress 3.6 and we've got plugins and here's the plugins that I've got going. And if I let's see, I'll open another tab. So we got side by side here. So on the left side is I'm going to navigate to my Dropbox account and I just store all the plugins, the premium plugins that I have in this folder here. And so if I want to do to add Gravity Forms, I can click and I can drag and I can bring that over into this folder and I'll copy that over here. And then Gravity Forms is there. Of course, it's going to be outdated because of the fact that I haven't updated that file in my Dropbox account lately. But now if I go to installed plugins, it's going to say that Gravity Forms is there. And then I'll activate that. It's going to ask for my registration key. Let's see. I can go ahead and do that as well. Let's see. Let me find my license key here real quick. I just want to show you how this looks. Oops. And then we can go and we can say that we want to do a new form. And basically how these forms work is if you want a single line of text or a drop down menu or a number, you know, a radio button, we can go ahead and we can say that we want to, this is going to be first name. Of course, it's not working this morning. And we'll save this form, but it's super simple to get set up with a form. Let's see if it will edit now. Of course, when it comes to live demo time, it always, let's update it and get the latest version here. Maybe that will help it things out. And so, like I said, the form system is something that it's not necessary that you go in and install right away. I just know that most of my clients want some sort of form anyways. So maybe we want to say first name or just name in this box. And we can slide that window up and we can say, if we want to, we can say country, which is really cool. One of the features that you can do is you can actually add countries. So you can just say, yep, that's what I want to do. I want to insert those choices. So you don't actually have to hand type every single country in the world. That's just something that's built right into Gravity Forms. So that's pretty simple. It makes it pretty nice to go in and automatically create a form real quick. And so if I was interested in adding a contact form on a page, I would go and add a new page. I would call it contact form. And then we would add a new form here, and we would say that we want that untitled form. Of course, I didn't call it anything. I can publish it, and then we can view the page, and we can see what it looks like. So it's really basic, and it does really great forms, and it adapts from the styling that you already have on your website. So that's what the contact form is. That's number 8. Number 9 is installing the Yoast SEO all-in-one plugin. And so if I go to plugins, I can go to new, and of course, I'll type in Yoast to go to this plugin. Remember, you'll get this whole video. So I know that I'm going a little bit fast. I want to save plenty of time for questions. So we'll install that right now. And then I'll get this set up real quickly. We can activate this plugin and allow no tracking. And then there's a whole bunch of settings that you can go inside of this plugin as well. So we could sign up for a newsletter. That's what that drop or that box was for. And then we can get all the ability to customize our titles, our social or XML sitemaps, permalinks, links, import, export. And so if I wanted to, I could import from, this is what I normally do is I import settings that I already have. And then that way it'll set everything up just like that. It's very simple. And then I can go in and tweak the settings that I need. So that's number 9 is the Yoast plugins to get that all set up. And then number 10 is go find that premium theme or plugin or software, whatever you're going to use to get set up on your site. So if you're, you know, just interested in coming up with a free theme, you can go and you can browse themes and say that I don't have a lot of criteria here. I just want a silver theme. I'll go ahead, find themes and maybe Maybe we want this one. And so I say, yeah, that looks good. I would just go ahead and install, and then we can activate it. And then our website looks completely different. So if we wanted to, we could go ahead and easily set that up. And then I would start building off this one and start adding my content and adding images and pictures and page content and start tweaking and modifying this actual theme. And then the last thing that I do is I set up a Git repository. This is another kind of advanced technique that I've just recently been starting, just because I want that ability to track all of my changes. And so that's pretty simple. It's not as simple as it could be, but go and check. There is an entire webinar about this. If you go to the yourwebsiteengineer.com and click on the webinar replay menu item at the top, then you can go and search for the one that's called version control. And that will give you all the information that you need to get up, set up and running when it comes to version control. So those are the 10 things that I do when it comes to setting up a website. I do see that there's some questions coming in. I wanted to give you just a little bit more information from the presentation, then I will answer the questions. So let's go back to Keynote, and we will go continue this presentation. But I wanted to give you the special offer, especially because this is a brand new course that I've just released. It's really cool. It's all digital. You basically sign up and you download it all and you watch videos just like the one that you saw. This is the exact presentation style that I give, you know, some points at the beginning, live demo, and then I wrap up at the end. There's a 1 week VIP launch. So by Saturday of next week, which is August 17th, the VIP bonuses are gone. So they're really cool bonuses as well. And it's step-by-step instructions. And so remember when in this presentation, when I said, hey, you go in and you configure this and you configure this, but I don't have time to do it now. I have step-by-step videos on how to configure each of these plugins that we talked about and kind of the steps there leading up to each one of these things. So here's what you'll learn. There's 12 different modules. The first week or the first module, we'll talk about backups, then how to protect your website from hackers, track your visitors with analytics, and speed up your website. So those are some of the key things. And again, you get all of this right away. Like, it's not like these are, you know, week long lessons. You get all 12 modules at once and you can work at them at your own pace and you can work through them. Module number 5 is optimizing your site for Google. So we go in and we set up that Yoast SEO plugin, and I give you the configuration file that you can download and upload to your computer or upload to your WordPress site to get all those configuration settings. In module 6, we learn a little bit of code. So in case you need to tweak some HTML, you'll know exactly how to do that. Learn how to style things with a little CSS as well. Module 7 is why and how to keep WordPress updated. Module 8 is setting up MailChimp. So you'll go in, you'll set up a MailChimp account, you'll get your first campaign set up, your autoresponder set up, and you'll implement your sign-up form on your website. So module 8 is really fun. Number 9 is all about the must-have WordPress plugin. So I shared all of these plugins today, but there's like a handful, there's 10 more or so that we talk about in that module and why they're important to use. Number 10 talks about why we should be using images on our WordPress site and where to get images and things like that. Module 11 is share with social media. I share some tips to get more social media shares and likes when it comes to your content, and how to easily implement buttons and things like that on your website so people can share. And then number 12 is how to sell content online. So I give you some strategies of what you can sell, how you can sell it, and actually get your site up and running with a cool selling process. So that's kind of the class. It's called Conquer Your Website Engineer, .com. And there's 3 special VIP bonuses in the next week only, and then they're gone. They're never going to be seen again. But I'm doing 6 1-hour question and answer webinars. So if you're interested in asking any questions when it comes to WordPress, that's even outside the realm of these 12 modules, that's what those are there for. And if you can't make the live calls, you can always email me with questions and I'll go ahead and respond to those on the live webinar that you can get a replay to. You can download my exact settings. This is a really great time-saving feature, which is really cool. And then 10 people will be randomly selected to have a 30-minute consultation face-to-face through the internet, consultation with me, and I can give you any advice or support or fix things in that 30-minute session as well. So those are the 3 special VIP bonuses. You may be saying, Dustin, so what's this training all about? I show you everything. I want to just get you up and running without spending hours upon hours scouring the web. You know, you just look over my shoulder. You see exactly my settings, exactly what I do to run my WordPress sites and every WordPress site that I have. And stop wasting time searching the web for all these answers. Like, you know, if you are interested in setting up a backup plugin, you've got to go to, you know, X site and figure out the backup. And okay, now I need security. So now you've got to go find another place to backup security. And then you've got to go over here and you've got to go over here. This is all in one place, all delivered to you. You can download it. You can take it with you. You get the presentations, you get all the links to the plugins, all that kind of stuff in this training. It's taken me a month, month and a half to put all this together. My currently hourly rate, if somebody hires me as one-on-one consultant, is $150 per hour. So you may be thinking, how much is this class? The webinars are worth $600 alone. So that's even more than that. It should be $900 alone of my time just working and answering your type of questions. And then there's over 4 hours of video content. There's probably closer to six, but I wasn't 100% sure exactly how much video there is there. So it's well over 4 hours of content. So you can get all of this. This is just an offering, a VIP package at $297. And I have a couple payment options as well. They're not implemented on my website quite yet. So if you're interested, you can use the contact form there and sign up. So you're getting a great value. It does expire in a week. But if you're interested, you can go to conqueryourwebsite.com/VIP. So I'm not a big seller when it comes to, you know, really heavy pusher. So I'm not trying to say you need this. Like, I've just shown you the benefits of learning from me, and you get a ton of content from me, and you get a ton of access to me, which I'm really excited about. And I had to lock this down for VIPs only because of the fact that I don't want to have thousands of people in there, and I won't be able to answer your questions and help you directly. So that's why there's a limited time only VIP launch that ends next Saturday. So now it's time for questions. Let's go ahead and start answering some questions. And let's go. So if you have any questions, there's a handful of them that are in the questions box, but go ahead and ask those and continue to ask them, and I will answer as many as come in. So Tim asks, I'm in the admin, yet I get the you do not have sufficient permissions to access this page on BackWP Up. Any ideas? I guess it would depend on... So if you've installed it in an admin account... I would just kind of refresh your page. I don't know if you figure this out. This question came in a little while ago. But I wouldn't think that you would have any permission issues unless you're running a site that somebody else has set up and they haven't given you access to do those types of things. Can you let me know, Tim, a little bit more information? Are you the main admin? Do you have permission to do other things? Are there other things that you've been locked out for? Charlie asked, can you use Better WP Security and WordFence on the same install? I think WordFence has some useful tools that are better than WP Security is missing. Yes, you can use both of them at the same time. WordFence does some cool stuff when it comes to scanning your website. So if you want that extra, feature, and it's also like just a... what's the word I'm looking for? Just extra comfort that things aren't getting changed without your permission. Like, you can use WordFence and it does some great, it scans through your site and lets you know, hey, these files are changed, or these have some, you know, some maybe malicious malware in them and things like that. So you can run them both at one time. I personally just prefer using Better WP Security, but you're more than welcome to run both of them. Rich asks, what is the extension you use to log in? Oh, that is it's a plugin called 1Password. So it's a Mac only app, and it syncs between all my devices, and it just gives me that little drop down menu when it comes to Google Chrome, and I can go and I can find any of my logins that I have. So that keeps everything really organized, and it just makes me so I can have really strong passwords. It has the ability to generate a password. So if I wanted to generate a password, if we wanted to say that we wanted it even longer, you know, so we can generate up to 50 character passwords, and we can use that. So that's how that works. That's what I use for passwords. Charlie asks, if comments are at LiveFire or Disqus, you should get the SEO credit on your site. Actually, how both of those plugins work is they mirror your comments on both places. And so they're actually part of your WordPress site. They're part of the page load. So you will still continue to get those SEO rankings and those SEO benefits. I have noticed lately, like I've been typing in Google searches and I find search results that are the answers are in the question or like the comment section. And not necessarily on the page. So that's really kind of neat. Like, I'm not sure exactly how all the SEO works, but I know that for a fact that all of your comments are stored in both places. So in case you ever want to move from Disqus to LiveFire or turn them off and use WordPress commenting system, you can automatically do that. And you can make those changes without fear of losing anything. Marty says, can you explain how you use /create a configuration file you mentioned for WordPress SEO by Yoast? Can you give us a copy of your default settings later? And why did you delete the default themes you are not using? To save space? Okay. First I'll answer the question for the default themes. Why I do those is because occasionally those go out of date, is one reason. And so I don't want to have to manage keeping those updated. Now they don't go out of date very often, but, they do regularly go out of date. Maybe every time WordPress, 3.6 comes out, 3.7, WordPress will update those. And there's some small little updates and changes that have to be made. The reason that I do delete them as well is because that, most hackers have scripts written and they know to look in the wp-content/themes file. And then they know that, oh, there's a theme called 2013. There's probably one called 2012, 2011. So they know exactly where to look when it comes to, okay, if they've got these files installed on their computer. So that's one of the main reasons that I get rid of those. And it does save a little bit of space. So there's a lot of different benefits, but I get rid of them because I like clean, not messy, areas. So I just remove them all. And then if I ever have to troubleshoot, I will go in and I troubleshoot by just reinstalling one of them. It takes 3 seconds to do, and I like keeping my site clean. When it comes to the configuration file, how you make the configuration file in the SEO plugin, and you can do this for any of your sites, but basically you go in and you configure each one of these tags. So, okay, we go in and configure the tags here and the meta description and the post tags. A lot of the default settings are going to be good for you to get started, but you probably want to go in and tweak a couple of them. Maybe if you have a custom post type or, some other things, like they'll show up in this area as well. And then basically once you've got everything configured, then you can just go to the import export feature. And this gives you the ability to import if you're using all-in-one SEO and you want to move to Yoast. Maybe you're using Headspace 2 or the old all-in-one SEO by Yoast. So you can import all those things, but then you just click include taxonomy metadata and then export settings. And it basically will just come up with a settings file that you can go ahead and download and you can get, and then you can start using that on all your sites. So once you've got it kind of set up and ready to go, you can, save that file. Then you can save some time by updating that. One thing to note though, when you do upload that file, when you go to the home tab, so say your title template is like this, maybe on your home tab, you wanted to say like yourwebsiteengineer.com, your resource for WordPress news and information or whatever, like that's always going to be the same. So if you're going to save a configuration file, I would leave the home page one blank when you save the configuration file. Otherwise, if you forget to go in and make the change, then you're going to have, yourwebsiteengineer.com on every site that you use. So that's how I do that. I'm trying to decide if I want to give the settings that I have away. That's part of the conqueryourwebsite.com. And you might be able to find it if you go, and I think I did a webinar, maybe my very first webinar that I ever did that talked about the five things that you must do or the five plugins that you must use. I think I had some settings in there, but I don't think I had the most updated settings as well. So I think I'm not going to include that because that's a bonus in the actual course. Robert asks, the Yoast plugin configurations can be a little intimidating for various choices. Are you able to share the standard settings as you import, as this may be a good starting point for others? I honestly, Robert, that's a great question. It kind of goes piggybacks on Marty's question, but a lot of the default settings are that come with the plugin actually will work quite nicely. The biggest thing that you want to do with the Yoast plugin is when you actually do a new post or a page, you'll want to go in and you actually need to configure this on a page-by-page basis. So the biggest thing is going in here and going and, you know, typing in whatever your focus keyword. So maybe demo is your keyword, and then actually configuring what your website is, actually like all the metadata for each individual post and page. And I cover all of this stuff is in the Conquer Your Website course as well. So like I go through very in-depth all of this stuff as well. And I'm still thinking about whether I want to include that file or not. Maybe. Roby says, do you use a plugin to create the cool looking login page at conqueryourwebsite.com? No, I did not. There is no plugin to do this. This is a, this is kind of a custom thing, if you will. Basically, let's see if I can think, can I show you, it's like six lines of code that's added to the, functions.php file for my custom theme. So I think I can show you that. If I go to appearance editor, I think I can show you this. We'll show you this in the theme functions.php. Basically, I've loaded, here's all the scripts that I'm loading for my website. And then it's 1, 2, 3, 4, actually 5 lines of code. And basically what I'm doing is I'm calling a function, and it's basically linking to an external style sheet. So I'm basically saying that, hey, when my website loads, when the login page loads, go and find this folder called login. And then there's a theme in that folder as well called login-style.css. And from there, then in that style dot or login-style.css, that gives the ability to like then you go in and you say, okay, instead of loading the WordPress logo, add my own logo. Instead of doing the color, so we can see if we go to conqueryourwebsite.com/login, you can see that I changed this box to gray. I've made this different colors depending on which one you click on. And then when you hover over this button, so I've done just, it's all CSS. So I've done actually no changes to any core files. I've just basically said, load my style sheet instead of the WordPress style sheet, or mine just overwrites that. So that's how I do that. Roby, I think that is a great idea for either a new video or a new blog post, because I think this is really cool. It really sets your website apart from others, that it doesn't necessarily look like, oh, this is brand new. You know, like I'm installing WordPress, I'm signing into WordPress. Nowhere here does it say, hey, you're signing into a WordPress website. So if you've got those clients that are kind of confused and they don't necessarily want WordPress per se, this would be a great thing to do. So awesome. And Charlie says, with the new Genesis 2.0 framework and all the rich snippet stuff, do I still need Yoast SEO? I have not had a chance as of today, like the Genesis framework has been out, you know, 2-3 days, you know, it hasn't been that long. I have not had a chance to go in and look at it. It really depends. Like I think Genesis, if I'm remembering correctly, they have that same widget area where you can go in and you can in the add new post area. So like they've got this area built in Genesis. So I don't think if you're running Genesis, I don't think you necessarily need the WordPress SEO for those capabilities, but there are some different tools that you can use within the SEO plugin. One of the cool things is like with the social connections, you can go in, you can add your Facebook page and your Twitter and your Google Plus page. So if you wanted to have the Google Plus authorship, this is a really easy way to do that as well with the WordPress SEO. So you won't necessarily have to use all the features. I would use the ones that are built in by the folks over at Genesis, but I know that Mr. Yoast is a genius when it comes to WordPress, and he's got some really neat plugins and some really cool things that he's working on and doing. And so it really depends. Like, I personally, if it was me, I would run both of them and kind of see which one worked better, which one kind of fit my needs better, and then use that as my default. So, and then maybe if I wasn't using the Yoast plugin anymore, then maybe I would, kind of hand code in or add my own functionality that I'm not using in Yoast. So that's what I would do. Any other questions? It looks like we've kind of reached the end of the question list. Hopefully this was helpful to you. My goal is to provide, just easy to consume information that we're not spending hours looking at all these different things. I'm trying to break things down into bite-sized data pieces. If you have any other suggestions when it comes to webinars, or if there's maybe even somebody from the WordPress community that we'd like to talk to, maybe we want to talk to Mr. Yoast, or we want to talk to the person that created the Better WP Security plugin, or anything along those lines. If you're interested in that, let me know. Send me an email, dustin@yourwebsiteengineer.com, and I would love to come and partner with some of these guys that have great stuff that's out there. So one, you don't have to listen to me babble all the time. And two, maybe that I can learn on my own webinars, which is always a pleasure as well. Let's see. Charlie has another. He says, thanks for the jammed-packed webinar. You're welcome, Charlie. I think that's one of my strong / weak points when it comes to creating webinars and presentations. The fact that I try to jam too much in and don't have enough time. Like, I would have loved to go into some more depth with some of these different plugins and how to configure them and how to set them up. But you just don't have time in an hour-long webinar. I didn't even think it was going to go an hour. But thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out. Marty says, oh, he'd love a seminar on SEO by Yoast and how to use Gravity Forms. Yeah, Gravity Forms, that would be an awesome one. Maybe I can get, I think the guy's name is Carl Hancock, and he is a great developer. Follow him on Twitter @CarlHancock, and he's really incredibly smart. And so that would be, an awesome webinar to get him on here, and we could talk about, the hardest part about Gravity Forms sometimes is like styling them the exact way that you like. So maybe, we'll see. That is a great suggestion, Marty. I'm writing that down as we speak on physical paper so that we can do that someday. Carl, anything else? Any other questions you may have? Remember this, I will be publishing this and uploading it to web, and it should be out in a couple hours. You should have an email for it. And you can see, you can do a replay, and you can, I'll provide the links to the PDF document of the keynote presentation and whatnot. So if there's no other questions, it looks like I've got some people saying thank you. You are welcome. Thank you for taking the time out of your Friday or Friday morning or Friday afternoon or Friday night or Saturday morning, wherever you are on the globe, and spending some time with me. I love doing these things. If you're not busy, at 1 p.m. Eastern, so just in a couple hours, 2 hours from now, I'll be doing a live kind of Google Hangout. And so you get to see me. We'll be doing like face-to-face Google Hangouts. I'll be talking about or just answering any questions you may have when it comes to WordPress and just kind of hanging out. And I might be promoting my new latest creation. So that's what I'll be doing in an hour. If you're not busy and you want to hang out with me then, if not, we'll do another webinar in September. I'm not sure what it's going to be per se, but we will stay tuned to the podcast and keep your eyes and ears open to me on Twitter if you're interested in following me @DustinHartzler, and I'll be promoting and letting you know when my next free webinar is. So with that, I'm going to wrap up for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for, Mark says he's loved to come, but that's at 1 a.m. in Australia. Sorry about that, Mark. I would love for you to come, but your sleep is way more important than hanging out with me. That's for sure. So thank you guys so much for tuning in and hanging out with me today. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.